wish you God's blessings as you continue to follow him. I'd like to open it up now for any prayer requests that might
greetings this evening in Jesus' name. It's good to be with you here tonight. I'll just move aside from the mic here. Just take it. There we go. It's a little easier. And having the lights shining in my eye. It's good to be with you tonight. Bring greetings from Canada, from Northern Youth Programs. And it's neat to be in a church here where I have some nieces and nephews. Don't always have that privilege, and it was they provided us with a wonderful supper and catching up a little bit, and interesting hearing Joe ending up in the ditch here. I think you need to come back in Canada a little bit and learn to drive in the snow more. Of course, he had a good excuse there, but it was very interesting to catch up with them and just to be with you all here. Now, I'm a little bit nervous here tonight because I have a board member from Northern Youth here, and Gary's on the council of reference, and so you're putting me under pressure a little bit here, but no, I'll be fine. But if I don't have the answers, they do, because they, especially Paul, he's been with Northern Youth for many, many years, many more than I have. So, but good to be with you tonight. Unfortunately, we couldn't bring our whole family along, so we brought a picture of them. They couldn't all make it, but Kayla on the far left and in the front there is she's working with Northern Youth. In Dryden, part-time, doing the Beaver Bible Club that Morley Beardy had taken to Suluk out, and he didn't want to do it anymore, so he's given it back to Northern Youth, so she's doing that, and also completing some education as well. She has a couple courses to do online that she's working on. On the very back, on my right, is Clarissa, and she's in the nursing program, and they wouldn't let her take off. You're not even allowed to take one day off of that, or you got to have a pretty good excuse. So, and my only son, Michael, comes in the middle of all these girls. He stayed home to continue on his grade 12. He's in the last part of grade 12. And also to keep Clarissa company and keep the fire going. We do need wood up there to heat the house, so he didn't come along. But I do have our youngest daughters, Nicole and Natasha. They're twins. You can take the lights again. They are with us, and I'm glad at least we have some. It used to be on these PR trips our whole family would go, but I guess I'm getting more gray hairs, and my children are growing up, so they can't always be here. And, of course, I'm a beautiful wife, Sharon, Claire's daughter, Claire Schnupp, for those of you that know Claire. So we're glad to be with you, and we have a couple songs we'd like to sing, and then we'll be sharing about Northern Youth.
Complete in thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctify salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, at thy right hand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
It's really good to be back again in Kansas. I know that our family traveled a lot when I was younger, just like my family travels now, around to different churches. And we had kind of favorite churches that where we liked to go. And one reason we liked coming here was everybody made us feel so cool. That's what I told my girls. And other churches, you know, you're just kind of normal, I guess. But here, something about it, and the help that Paul's children here, I think, helped make us feel so at home. And so it's good to see Paul and Martha. But the next song we're going to sing is another one that all of our five children learned at a family camp this past summer, that where the youth sang in a chorus. So they were new for Steve and I. We were trying to learn them.
Let all things now living a song of thanksgiving to God the Creator triumphantly raise, who fashioned and made us, protected and stayed us, who still guides us on to the end of our days. God's banners are o'er us, His light goes before us, a pillar of fire shining forth in the night. Till shadows have vanished and darkness is banished, as forward we travel from light into
good to be here tonight, as I mentioned earlier. And I think most of you got a book like this, hopefully, when you came in. If not, there should be more at the back there. We'll be going through this booklet tonight and just talking about Northern Youth Programs. And what I can't answer, Paul can or Gary can hear. So if there's any questions that I can't answer, I'm sure they can. So anyhow, Northern Youth Programs has been going for a number of years, 44, 45 years, I think. Claire's have been in the North in the 50s, 51 or 52. It wasn't long ago they had their 50th wedding, 50 years of service, and I forget what the last 50 thing was, but there was three different ones. But anyhow, getting into the booklet here on Northern Youth Programs, our mission statement is on page one there. Our mission is to partner with Aboriginal Christians to evangelize the lost and disciple believers and develop people for Christian service. And it has changed a little bit, especially the word partner there. there's a lot of Native leaders, because of the years of missionaries being in the North, that are doing a very good job of evangelizing their own people. And so our mission is to walk alongside and partner with them and help them and enable them help them in their different ministries that they're involved with, and of course continue on doing ministries that we're doing as well. But that partnering is kind of a new thing that we put in the mission statement, and that's really our focus, because when you're on the mission field, as converts come and as leaders develop, which are a lot of Native leaders in the North, because of people like Paul and others that have done extensive work in the North over the last 50 years, there's a lot of good leaders there. And so we really want to partner with them and help them in any way that we can. Guys like Goyce Kakagamic, Morley Beardy, and others like that, just to work alongside them and help them in their ministries and what they are developing in the North and working on. The vision statement is NYP seeks to be a quality resource for the First Nation churches to help reach more Native people through Native people. It is our desire to provide instruction, consultation by creating an environment where First Nations church leaders fulfill their biblically based, God-given hopes, desires, and ambitions. And that really kind of explains it quite well, what our vision is as Northern Youth Programs. On page 2, then, you have the history or the timeline of Northern Youth Programs, all the different ministries that have happened over the years. Some of them are still happening, and ones like the schools, Crystal Lake and Sterling Lake, are not happening anymore. But a lot of the ministries are still happening, and you can kind of see that on the timeline there. And you are welcome to take these books with you, and so I'm not going to bore you by going through that and reading it word for word, but I'll just make mention of a few of these things as we go through the booklet. On page 3, then, you have the core values of Northern Youth Programs. And again, I'm not going to go through these. You can take these with you and just read through the core values of what Northern Youth Programs consists of. In the last year, Norm Miller has taken over as director. Amos has been our director for the last while, and he's been wanting to get off as director and more be involved in ministry in the North rather than doing administration. And so Norm has kind of been, we've been training him in the last number of years. He's a young man, but a very talented man, very teachable, and has done an awesome job. And so he has taken over as director, and he has the resource of working under Amos. Amos is still there, and Claire to work under. And Norm has done an awesome job. I think he was out here maybe 2 years ago, or maybe a few times he's been out already. But I really appreciate Norm. He's actually my boss. I work in the prison ministry in Kenora, and I really appreciate Norm. They're actually on a PR trip right now. If you looked in the last newsletter, they're on their way out west, I think, in Montana, somewhere in Montana tonight. I forget which church they're at, but they're doing the Western trip. I think we're going to put on about 6,000 miles. They might put on about 8,000 or 10. I'm not sure till they loop around through Colorado. It'll be quite a number of miles till they get back to Dryden. And he has a report there, which I am not going to read. Then you come to Beaver Lake Camp, and I often refer to Beaver Lake Camp as a hub of Northern youth. That's where a lot of activity happens. That's where most of our staff are involved in. And Sheldon Keller is the director of Beaver Lake Camp. My brother-in-law, Mark Petersheim, would be the director of counseling, but Sheldon is kind of over the whole camp there. He worked back in, I think it was 2001, as a single guy, and it's good to have people after they're married to come back and work in Northern Youth as well. And he's doing an awesome job leading out at the camp there. And a lot of things happen, and I'm just going to go through and list out a few different things that happen at Beaver Lake Camp. There's a couple married couples and a lot of singles that work there, and then they also pull in a lot of staff for big events where they need a lot more staff. So last week, they just had a family life workshop, and this is where families, Native families, come from across the North. And they spend a week there, and there's different workshops relating to the family, to the Christian home. Often we get a lot of Native speakers that lead out in these, and some of our own that share. And it's just a really good week together, trying to work on some of the family family dynamics in a lot of these homes. And it's often a really good week. And I know there was a one reserve from Sioux Lookout, Lac Sioux. One of the band members called and wondered, how many families can we send to this event? This was a few weeks ago. They said, we want to send as many families as we can. And that's very encouraging when you hear that, because this event has not been that, not that many families have showed out. The numbers have been down in the last number of years. But when you have a reserve calling and saying, how many families can we send? Well, they just want to send them all out there. So that's awesome when you get that response. So this happens twice a year, in the fall and in the spring. Youth retreats, they had one the end of September. And this is a three times a year. They have youth retreats, I think maybe two in the spring, one in the winter, one in the spring, and one in the fall. And this is where they get about 60, 70 youth. In September, I think there was about 70 youth that showed up. They come in for the weekend from all over the north, from Thunder Bay, from the Native High School down there, from Pelican Falls, which is a Native High School in close to Hudson, Sioux Lookout area. I think they usually bring a whole busload in, and then just from Kenora or different places in the north, they'll come in for the weekend. And this past, when they had Philip Flett, a Native guy that's sang a lot, been at family camp involved in that, he came in and shared. And he has quite a story, because a couple years ago, he had a stroke, and so he lost different movement in his body. He was confined to a wheelchair for a while. I think he is walking with crutches now, but he has quite a testimony, and so he was a guest speaker there. But it's, a very good event. The youth really enjoy that. Of course, with young people, you have to keep it really busy, keep the activities going all day and late at night, tire them out so they do sleep. But a very good event. I remember a couple years ago hearing the story of a couple girls from Kenora that had been at this event, and it was time to go home, and they were nowhere to be found. So they searched around the grounds there and found them and talked with them, and they didn't want to go because they so much appreciated the weekend there. And probably they didn't have a real good home life to go back to, and so they wanted to stay on longer. But that is encouraging that we can bring life to these young people and, bring Jesus to them and help them so when they go back home that they can deal with the everyday conflicts and issues that they face in their lives. So really appreciate all the staff that are involved in that. My daughters sometimes help with that event. Kayla just helped this past one, and it's a really good event that happens. Single Mothers Retreat happens the first weekend in December. This is where single mothers will come with their children, and again, it's a retreat. A guest speaker comes in and just bring encouragement to the single moms, because that is quite prevalent across the north, where the children are brought up with one parent, and often it ends up being the mother. And if that doesn't work out, then it's foster homes, and so it's no wonder I'm kept busy in the jail just because of the dysfunctional family units across the north. The busiest time at Beaver Lake Camp is probably the month of July. How many of you have been involved in the summer camps? Any of you came and worked with those? Let's see, raise a hand. A few? All right, very good. That is a very busy time, and I always admire the staff that are involved with that. Four weeks of different children coming for 1 week at a time. I think they come for about 6 days, and then the staff get a day and a half off, recuperate until the next set of young people come, or children, I mean. This past summer, there was 250 children that came, not all at once, but in 4 weeks, and was really good again to have the children there. And it's amazing, these children that go through these summer camps, some of these guys end up in jail, and they remember those stories that they learned in summer Bible school. It comes back to them. Those seeds that are sown, they remember them. And they were talking in Bible studies, and just recently in one of my Bible studies in the jail, one of the guys was talking about the world coming to the end here in December 12, 2012, and another guy piped up and said, well, no, only God knows when that's going to happen. No man on earth can predict that. And I thought, wow, that's cool. I don't have to give the answers. A fellow inmate did. And so they're reading their Bible. Some of them know a lot of scripture in the Bible. So that's encouraging. Anyhow, I kind of got off track here. But that is an event that happens in the summer. A lot of children that come for that. And if anybody is interested in signing up for that, I do have pamphlets on the table. Help yourself to one of the pamphlets if you want to have a summer of fun, activity. Make sure you come with lots of energy. Take one of these pamphlets and sign up. And it's for couples as well. You can come as a married couple. They have camp pastors. That's usually for a week at a time. But fill one of these out or give Northern Youth Programs a call if you're interested in that. Other things that happen at Beaver Lake, there's usually a lot of families that come throughout the year, not in the summer, of course, but they come for counseling, and so the staff is kept quite busy. There's sometimes a couple families at a time that will come, spend 10 days there, and they'll just work on different issues and do different crafts and stuff with them, and it's really a beautiful location there, nice quiet place on Beaver Lake where they can deal with issues in the family. So I think I pretty much covered what happens at Beaver Lake. PWTC is also another summer event that happens. Stands for Personal Workers Training Camp, and this is where young people or couples, and here again I do have a brochure that you can pick up, but where they go and live in a northern community. On page 8 you can see the different communities in the last few years where people were stationed in Northern Reserves. You have a week of training in Dryden, and then you're sent up to Reserve for 5 weeks. You live with the people there, pass out literature, do activities with the children, and just meet one-on-one with the community people. Be a friend to them and talk to them, witness to them, tell them about Jesus. I've never done it, but I think it would be a wonderful opportunity. But if you are interested in that, just pick up one of these brochures, and if you want to have a summer activity in the north, there shouldn't be any snow that time of year. We don't usually get snow in July. It has happened already, but not very often. But now you do have to put up with the black flies. That is one thing that we do have in the summertime is black flies and mosquitoes. So, but it is be an opportunity if somebody is wanting to do that. You can sign up for that. If you look on the back of your books, there is a map of the North, and coming to page 9 and 10, you see the 4 different airplanes that Northern Youth does have, and we need airplanes to get to the North, to get all the places in Nunavut and Greenland and Alaska, and so we are thankful for the planes that people like you have supported us for, that we can buy, that we can fly to these northern communities, and where you give us money so that we can put gas in or airplane fuel in these planes. So, in Ontario there, you can see Dryden, close to Ontario, right in Ontario. That's where Northern Youth is located. Our family is stationed in Kenora, which is an hour and a half west, and we're involved in the prison ministry there. We do go out to Winnipeg, to Stony Mountain and Rockwood. I go out there once a month to follow up with some of the guys that I've worked with in the Bible studies at Kenora. I get federal time, I'll go out there and visit them. But a lot of the ministry happens in the different communities in the north and up in Greenland. Clares go up 3-4 times a year, all across Nunavut and into Alaska. So this gives you a little bit of picture of the north, the vastness of it. Way up in Greenland in the summertime, there's 24 hours of daylight. Maybe some of you saw that PowerPoint that we showed a couple years ago. But in the wintertime, in January, it's right opposite. It's 24 hours of darkness, so it must be very depressing. I just can't imagine being, you might get a little bit of a day, an hour or two of daylight, or sometimes nothing, and then it's night again. At the summertime, I think they make up for it. They soak in all of the sun they can, and they probably don't do with much sleep. They're out there as much as they can. So, but anyhow, there's the planes here. The top one is the Cheyenne. That's the one that Claire flies. And then you have the other two that are involved throughout the year. Amos and Norm fly those, and Daniel as well as a pilot. And then the Luscombe, the one on floats, the only one that we have on floats now and on skis as well. You can see it only put in 6 hours back in 2010 or 2011 when this was printed. And so most of the communities have an airstrip, and so you don't really need floats or skis anymore to fly with. So there's just a few statistics of how many flights and the gallons of fuel that the different planes use. Coming to the Arctic Ministries, this is where my in-laws are involved with, Claire and Clara. They fly in the last 12 years. They've done intensive work in Greenland and also in Alaska and some in Nunavut, but not as much. But they've really concentrated on Greenland. And in the near future, in February, I think they're going up for their final three-week training thing that they're doing up there. And then they are turning it over to a fellow person, a Greenlandic man from Greenland. And I'm just going to share with you an article that Claire wrote, and Claire, a couple years ago, maybe some of you read it, I'm not sure. Some of you, it might be new, and I'm just going to read it. But Brian Wind is, I'll just read through the article that Claire wrote here. Brian Wind has become one of the most sought-after Bible teachers counselors in Greenland. Claire and I have been discipling Brian and his wife on our three-week trips three times a year since 2001. He managed a seal skin tanning factory for many years. Now at the age of 39, he has decided to leave a good-paying job to spend his life in Bible teaching and counseling, since so many of his people's lives are broken, being raised in alcoholic and or broken homes. Brian never knew his father as he was growing up. His mother and grandmother died when he was young. An angry, alcoholic uncle raised him. Neglect and abuse were part of his life growing up. He was a lonely, troubled, angry teenager taking out his anger on all those around him. And this is quite common, a lot of stories, a lot of similar stories, not only among the Greenlandic people, but in the Nunavut, Inuit people, in the Native people across northwestern Ontario and the far north. At the age of 16, he came in contact with Christian people who loved him. He accepted Christ, got married to a lovely Christian woman. She came from an abusive background as well, and they had four children, but marriage and family were full of problems. Usually, that happens. Problems and things that happen to you over your lifetime, or especially in your younger ages as a child, don't just go away on their own. And we met them in October 2001. This is Claire and Clara. Many hours were spent with Brian and his wife. They forgave many, repented of their own negative responses, found biblical and loving ways of relating. They are trophies of God's grace. Now God is using them to build his kingdom in Greenland. Do pray for Brian and his wife. They will remain faithful and humble as he travels up and down the coast. So if you look at Greenland there, you can see along the coast there, that's where all the ministry happens in Greenland. It's way too cold to be inland. And so Brian will be traveling up and down the coast and carrying on this flame. And it's kind of neat because when Claire and Clara are there, they use him as an interpreter, because you have a few different languages in Greenland. You have the Greenlandic language and also Danish. And so Claire, sometimes they have two interpreters. And so with Brian, I think he speaks the different languages there. They might have to have one interpreter, but not like when Claire's there. So having a native guy from Greenland is going to be very powerful. And so really pray for Brian in the work that he'll be involved in, and giving up a good paying job and being willing to be used to the Lord to travel up and down Greenland and continue to teach and witness to his own people there. Now, if you look in Nunavut there, you see this isn't a real good map, but there's a lot of different communities that aren't marked on this map. But there's been quite a revival among the men in Nunavut. And one of them is Noel, and I know him quite well. He went through the 10 course in Dryden there the same time I did back in 2000. But anyhow, Noel has a real heart for the native, for the Inuit men in different communities in the north. And there's been a real revival among these people. You've probably read some of the newsletter reports on that. But just recently in September, Claire and Clara and Mark Petersheim and Ivan Wapanis, a native Christian man, went up and did a week-long training thing in Coral Harbor. And they had 15 men, I think it was 12 to 15 men that came out to this, and they were from different communities in Nunavut, and they came out for this teaching thing. And the neat thing about that is they can go back home to their communities and work on the fathers, because if you can get to the heart of the fathers, I think a lot of lives, a lot of homes will be changed. And it's just a real good revival that's happening among these men in Nunavut. So you can really pray for Noel and for the other Christian leaders, that they can really impact the fathers in their communities and change lives, because there is a revival in the last few years that has really been happening there in the north. And Mark has been a part of that because they had lived in Rankin Inlet for a year and a half. And so he helped Noel start some of this here, and Noel is really carrying that out. And just a real wonderful work that is happening there. So do remember them in the ministry there. As I mentioned, Claire's are kind of backing off from Greenland and be working more in Nunavut and Alaska in the next, I don't know how many years. As long as they have good health, they'll be traveling up north. And now yet they are very healthy, very active. I think they have more energy than I do, at least it seems like it. I can't keep up with Claire's schedule. Even on a PR trip, I think Claire would have every night filled up, but I don't know. I don't have that energy, I guess. I can't quite operate that way, but continue to pray for them and the work there in Nunavut. But that's where they really want to concentrate, is in the Nunavut. They did a lot of work in Greenland, and now they'll still be going back to Greenland some, I'm sure, but more of it will be in Nunavut. NYM does a lot of literature, and we brought some of that with us, not near all of it, but if there are different resources, if you want to go on NYP's website, you can look at all the different literature that they have available. We have a little bit with us tonight, but there's a number of staff, a few staff that work in that, that help Claire in the office here, and different articles, and a lot of Claire's teaching has been recorded on DVD, and so it is available. As Claire will not be able to do this forever, they are recording it, and I think they pretty much have it all recorded. There's just a few different teaching seminars and that they want to record yet, but most of it is on DVD. So, yeah, that happens at NYM there. Page 15, that's where Sharon and I and our family are located. We've been there since 99, took a few years off, but we came back, took 3 years off from 2008 to 2011. So we've been back there a little over a year now again, and are involved in the prison work there. There's about 150 men in the Kenora jail, and 30 to 40 ladies. Used to be a juvenile facility there as well, but that has moved somewhere else. So you can see with 150 men, I am busy doing one-on-one counseling, offering Bible courses, weekly Bible studies. Sharon goes in as well and meets with the ladies. There's a native lady that helps her out with that as well. And so there's different courses that we do offer. I just brought some of them with me here tonight. Gospel Echoes is one. Maybe some of you are graders for Gospel Echoes, I'm not sure. But it's an 8-book series that I get the men or ladies to work on. If they do the first 4 books, they can get a nice leather Bible with their name engraved in it. And our mission, we raise money for that. Get a real nice leather, about a $25, $30 Bible, and get their name engraved. And it's really neat to see the guys, once you receive this Bible. The one guy, I just gave him one recently, and he said, "Boy, I don't even want to open this. It's so new, and it smells so nice." And he didn't want to hurt it, but just really to see them, they're, just to bring them encouragement, because they're told all the bad things that they do. They go to jail, they go to court, and the crown and the judge make them look awful, which some of the guys are, but God can change them. They're not beyond God's grace. So that's one course I offer. I also get them going on Gospel Express. They have a Roman series, five different books. The Gavel Falls is the first one. A little bit harder, but if they want, I get them going on that one as well. That's a little bit easier that Merle Burkholder had started years ago. And we do have 10 books in this one as well. It's entitled Following Jesus. It's a little bit easier. It's more in a grade 5 or 6 level. Some of these guys, their education isn't real high. So it's quite a bit easier, and it repeats the same question sometimes over and over. So by the time they're done, especially this book, they all know what it means to repent. The 3 steps of repenting. They'll know what it means to follow Jesus and choosing the way. So it's a really good course as well. We have another one, entitled God Help Me Stop. It's a textbook that we got permission. It was out of print, but we got it reprinted. And so there are some on the table that you can buy tonight if you want one. It goes through the 12 steps that AA uses. And our mission has developed a workbook that goes with it entitled God Help Me Stop. But alcohol, drugs is probably 99, I would say almost 100% of why these guys are in jail. And so it's awesome material for them to work through. I see I'm running out of time. I don't want to keep you here real long, so I will keep going. I'll be sharing a little bit more in my challenge here in the last 10, 15 minutes, so I think that's all for the jail is for now. Most of our work is done in Kenora. One-on-one counseling, Bible studies, I grade 300-400 a month. Sometimes I grade 600-700. It all depends how many courses they're doing. But I enjoy grading, and yeah, that's all part of it. And as I mentioned earlier, once a month I do go to Stony Mountain in Rockwood because some of the guys are in my Bible study for 2-3 years until they're sentenced. And if they get a federal sentence, they're sent out to Stony. So I go there to follow up with them just to encourage them and see how they're doing, especially in the big federal jail. It's quite a bit different than Kenora jail. So the last two pages here, you have a letter from the Yeshes and one from Claire's as well. So you can take these books with you. And, yeah, is there any questions at this point? I do have a PowerPoint that I'd like to turn on that you can see. And once I turn it on, we can maybe have the lights. But is there any questions that somebody would have? I'll just open up at this time. We'll be here afterwards, so you can ask us afterwards. So I will turn the PowerPoint on, and you can see that.
Lord, give us a vision of souls gone astray, out on the cold mountains of sin. Help us to be working while yet it is day, for soon the judgment will begin. Lord, give us a vision, we pray. Help us, thy call to obey. Come into our heart and make it anew. Lord, give us a vision today. The harvest is great and the labors are few. The harvest time soon will be old.
The Master is calling to me and to go work and be idle no more.
Lord, give us a vision of lost souls, we pray. Help us, thy call to obey, to obey. Come into our heart and make it anew. Lord, give us a vision to. Lord, give us a vision of work to be done, of duties neglected each day. Renew our lost vision of souls to be won. Lord, give us a vision, we pray. Lord, give us a vision, we pray. Help us, thy call to into our heart and make it anew. Lord, give us a vision today. Does anybody love the children? Does anybody love
children?
children. Does anybody love the children? I see little children crying hunger. Do you hear it? Just a weak cry, just a bleak sigh, eyes of sorrow never rest. I see little children bruised in body and in spirit, helpless children who are battered by the people. Does anybody love the children?
I see children coming to a young man, reaching toward them. Let them come, let them come. Hear him saying, let them come. Suffer, little children, to come now unto me. And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, yes, he blessed them.
Does anybody love the children? Does anybody
that song is very appropriate. I think it really, yeah, there's a lot of children that are reached, is that northern youth, and a lot of youth, and I really like the song that that went along with that there. So that takes you a little bit closer home. When you see a picture like that, you can see more what happens at northern youth there, and when you see it in a picture like that, I think it makes it more vivid. Just a few stories, a few verses yet here in closing. I don't want to keep you real long. I think Joe must have read my notes. The scripture that he read was one of the first ones that I had, and I'll just make a few comments on that. And there are listed a lot of different works of charity to the poor, to the needy, those in prison, etc. And I think, we can be involved in that wherever we are. My work is obviously in the jail. But there's many needy people out there, many people in the world that we can reach out to in our work. And I think that's encouragement in there, is to reach out to people. You look at Jesus in the ministry in Isaiah 61, verse 1, it talks about him coming to set people free that are living in bondage. And there's a lot of people in bondage. I often tell the guys in jail that if you accept Christ into your life, if you ask him to forgive you of your sins, you can be set free, and you can be freer than some people on the outside that are living in sin, even if you're in jail. They maybe have a hard time imagining that, but I think those that have made that change do experience that, because in John 8:32 it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And this is a message I want to bring as I go into prison, is God is there to set you free, whatever bondage, whatever evil, abuse or anything that's happened to you, God can set you free. He can give you healing for all that. And as we look at Northern Youth, that's really what we want to bring, that message of hope, because there's many hurting people, and only Jesus can set them free. There's nothing that we can do. It's only as we bring Jesus to their needs. Some of the stories I hear, I don't have answers to their deep hurts, deep wounds that they have in life. But I can bring Jesus. I can sit there with them and try to bring them hope and comfort as I bring them to God. I think there's Native elders that come in and push the Native religion in the jail. But that religion is a real religion of fear. I know there was a testimony of a guy that was involved in the Native religion. And one other medicine man had put a curse on him. And this guy was physically so sick that he was almost dying because of this curse. And nobody would help him out. So he finally went to a local pastor, Christian pastor, on his reserve there. And he became a Christian. And then only after that could those evil forces, those evil powers be taken away in that curse. His health started improving. But it's only the power of God that can do that. We're no match for the devil or some of the evil things out there, but God is, and he can help us. I'll just share a story of a guy that I worked with in jail. At 8 years old, he was put in foster care. His mother couldn't handle him, and his father left him at birth. And his foster home, they were not all good experiences. And at a young age, as a young teenager, he ended up in jail. But when he was in jail, and you often see this, he started reading his Bible. He really got into the Bible, and eventually he became a Christian. And you could tell he spent a lot of time reading. His paperback Bible was all marked up, and he knew different scriptures in our Bible studies, weekly Bible studies that come in there. We'd be reading different verses, and then he'd say, "Oh, I know another verse like that in the Bible," and he'd quick page to it. And for me, I need a concordance or something to get there. But you could tell he was spending a lot of time reading his Bible. I told him, "You remind me of the Bereans in the Bible in the New Testament, where they searched the scriptures daily." And you could tell he did that. He said, "Without fellowship, my faith would be dead." And he really looked forward to our weekly Bible study. And saw the need for that. And likewise, we meet in the house of the Lord weekly. We need that. We need to feed upon God's word. He called prison his school where he learned to follow God. And he definitely was a testimony to that. He's currently, as far as I know, out of jail. He's a chef, has a couple of jobs, is supporting his children. I'm not sure if he's back with his wife, but at least he's doing quite well on the outside, as far as I know. Luke 19:10 is a verse that says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And that's really why Jesus came. And that's what our message is as well, is to help those that are lost and to bring them to Jesus. In Joel 2, I appreciate the verses in here, 12 to 14, that Joel is encouraging the people in his time to repent, to turn to God with all their heart, not just part of it, but with their all, and fasting, weeping, rending their heart and not your garments. For God is a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, or we would be destroyed a long time ago. And that's our God. We serve a mighty God, one that's willing to forgive us and deal with those many things in our lives where we fall short. I'll just share another story. I'm not putting in near all the scriptures here, but I'm running out of time, but I do want to share some of these stories. There's another man that I worked with in jail a number of years ago, and I'll call him Pastor Dave. He was an older gentleman that ended up in jail because of crimes he did. And he did all the different Bible courses I had, went through all of them, and then I got him hooked up with a New Life Prison Ministries, where he did a bunch more courses that I didn't grade. And he took some of these empty courses, and when new inmates would come in, he'd hand them the course and say, "You got to do this course." He really encouraged them, and I think I was grading 700-800 courses because he was just really telling the guys, "They got to do these courses, it'll change your life." He did a wonderful work. I one time let him lead out in my Bible study, and he did a really good job. But anyhow, he got sentenced, ended up going to Stony Mountain, Rockwood, and I go out there and visit him. But one of the last times I visited him, this is a few years ago, I could tell there was something wrong. He wasn't himself, and here he had a tumor in his brain. And I think about 2 or 3 months later, he died right in jail. Very sad. I don't think the guards or the staff knew he was that ill, and he died right in prison. But I do praise God. I know where Pastor Dave is today. He's up in heaven. He did have a real vision when he got out to do prison ministry, but the Lord saw fit to take him home. But Pastor Dave really encouraged my life in the years that I worked with him. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I'm just going to quote it in the NIV. I really like this verse. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I like that. God has a plan for each one of us. And I tell the guys in jail, even though you feel you've messed up big time, God has a plan. He has a purpose for you. And if you're only willing to let yourself be used and to repent and come to Him, He will change your life. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Wow, what a great God. I think different times in life, it feels like we're going through difficult times, whether it's health issues or discouraging times or depression or whatever we're facing in life. Sometimes we're feeling low, but the promise here is that God will be with us and He'll walk with us. He won't let those waters overtake us, but He'll be there to carry us through. Another verse, a guy that I worked with in Southern Ontario in the prisons there informed me about, but did you know that God keeps all your tears in a bottle? Did you know that? There's a verse like that in Psalm 56, verse 8 and 9. I'm not going to open it up tonight, but there's a verse there that talks about God puts all our tears into a bottle. Boy, that talks about an awesome God. He knows what we're going through. Those tears that we're shedding, He knows about them and He cares about us if He keeps track of all those tears. And in verse 9 it says, not only does He keep the tears in the bottle, but God is with me. He's for me. What a wonderful promise. And just recently, just in the last week, 2 weeks, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I got a call from a young guy that wanted to meet me. He was in the Kenora jail. So I met with him, and he said he had been reading the Bible. He was in for a couple of weeks, first time he was ever in jail. He's probably, what, 18, 19 years old. And he said, "What does it mean to become a Christian?" He had read the Bible, never really went to church. He was in a northern community where there wasn't a church there at all, and never really knew much about the Bible. And he really wanted to know what it all meant. And so I explained it to him, and he said he wants to become a Christian right there. So I prayed with him, and he accepted Christ into his life. And what a wonderful opportunity. And often in prison, you hear of the revolving door, men, ladies in and out of jail. But I think Jesus, when you think of that song, the 99, it's that one lost one that God is after. And so even though there's many that maybe don't make a change, and we don't always hear, we plant these seeds in these people's lives, and God does the work in their lives. And but it is encouraging when there is a few that do make that change. So just a few stories that I wanted to share with you. And I did have, you have 1 minute yet? You do? Okay. I'll just share this here. It's been a real challenge to me, and I'm not near at this yet. It's just something that I ran across. Maybe you've heard it already. The Fellowship of the Unashamed, and I'm just going to read through it. "I'm a part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. The decision has been made. I have stepped over the line. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, love with patience, live by prayer, and labor with power. My face is set, my gate is fast. My goal is heaven, my road is narrow. My way is rough, my companions are few. My guide is reliable, and my mission is clear." Kind of reminds me of the Apostle Paul. "I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, or slow up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and spoken up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He'll have no problem recognizing me, My banner is clear. I am a part of the unashamed, of the fellowship of the unashamed. What a challenge. I know I'm not near there. I'm still striving toward that. So thank you for letting us come here and share. And I appreciate the support that you give to Northern Youth and for coming out here tonight and allowing us to come and share with you. May the Lord bless you in the many ways that you support us, either by sending staff or money, or in praying is a big thing. We need your prayers. And there is a table at the back. You can help yourself to any literature there. We'll be back there to help you. Some of it is free. Some of it there is a price. So, but we'll be glad to meet you back there. So Lord bless you all. Thanks again for letting us come. I'll turn the time back to Gary.
Thank you, Brother Steve. It's obvious that the Lord is at work, and he's filled your heart with energy, and you've said so much. God bless you as you continue to serve. Maybe there are questions from the group now. Comments or questions from anybody? I'd like to give Paul a chance to add anything that he would like to add here tonight. Brother Paul, do you... You've been there often. You weren't there this year.
Yes, I was involved in former times. I've told them that I think I should stay closer to home and travel less. So they said, okay, if we can have a phone connection, you may stay home. Actually, I thought I was off the board a few years ago, but then young Dave Hostetler got very sick and died within a year, and so they asked me to come back on the board, and I'm still thinking that I won't be there much longer. But it has been some very good years. The energy and commitment of these people is just very heartening to me. I just really consider it a privilege to have been associated with them. I wish them God's blessing. I'm just glad that they actually saw a way to go to Greenland to finish the job and to plan to turn it over now and concentrate on other areas. It's nice to see that we are actually working through handing over assignments and responsibilities. So there are many unfinished tasks, of course, and that's the way it'll be, I guess, until the Lord takes us home. But it's just been a pleasure and a blessing to be here.
Noted in the mission statement about partnering with, and it is true that that has really become central for the mission up there. And sometimes, like in other areas, we take a step forward and a half a step back, and we're just disappointed at things that didn't quite work out. But in vision and in goal, here's where the mission is, and we are seeking that God could continue to direct in ways that natives could take it on. Are there any questions? I won't keep begging, but I am open to anything that comes to your mind. All right. Then I'd like to ask for a closing chorus, stanza, or something, and then we'll close with prayer.